Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Allowing God's people to give to his work is not the same as asking for money. Jesus told us, he instructed his people to lay up treasure in heaven and not on the earth. And so cutting off this opportunity doesn't seem wise or helpful in the full scope of the kingdom of Christ. It also doesn't seem helpful to the eternal treasure that could be being laid up by his saints. So sometimes we hear the reaction of people saying, we don't ask for money. Then you got people who have given to false prophets and then they realize it and they're standing there like thinking, where should I give or should I ever give again? Well, of course, we're commanded to give and it shall be given unto you. And again, Jesus, Matthew 6:19-21 commands us to lay up treasure in heaven. And that comes from giving to the poor and giving to support his work so that his sheep can be fed and they can be equipped and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Remember, Jesus himself, his ministry, that is, with his holy apostles, allowed people to give, to lay up treasure in heaven. Matthew 6:19-21. Otherwise, Judas would not have been appointed the treasurer of the ministry of Christ and his apostles. He would have had no bag, no account to store those offerings that were being given to Christ's ministry with his apostles. Also, in the temple, when Jesus sat and he watched how men gave, remember that? That's in Mark 12:41-44. Why didn't Jesus say, do not give? Now, he didn't tell anybody not to give. Again, he commanded us to give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, in other words, with whatever you in your own heart and with your hand give out, it's going to be measured back to you again. Luke 6:38, that's speaking of all giving, including alms and offerings. So Jesus sat over against the treasury in the last four verses in Mark 12. And notice we don't read of Jesus commanding them to take the coffer or the treasury out of the temple. So if God's people aren't to give, why didn't Jesus just rip that treasury, that receptacle, a receiving coffer from out of the temple? So it says here in Mark 12, beginning in verse 41, that Jesus sat over against the treasury. And what did he do? What was he looking for and looking at? So it says here that Jesus beheld how the people gave. In fact, we have a podcast on that one called Jesus Sat Over Against the Treasury. Boy, what an eye-opener that one is. It's got a podcast. I highly recommend that you check that one out. Just put in the words, Jesus sat. That's all you got to put in. Jesus sat. It'll come right up. And again, why would Jesus sit there and watch people give if he didn't sanction and command the desire that we give out of what he's given us? On top of that, he lays up eternal treasure in heaven. Someone has once observed that you're never more like God than when you're giving. Love is not real love unless that love is giving of itself. And when God allows us to earn money, we gave of ourselves to earn that money, and then we give out of what we earn. In fact, that's exactly what we're instructed to do in the scripture, including in Ephesians 4:28, where the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, that we are to give out of what we are earning. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. Again, again, that's another command to give. God so loved the world that he gave. When we come to Jesus, we are giving back the life that he created, that's us, to him. And he came and died. He gave himself to redeem us back to him. And so we give volitionally ourselves to the Lord. God loveth a cheerful giver, and the first order of that giving is giving our lives to the Lord. It's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. No one can coerce others to give, as this passage is speaking about, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful, I believe that means a hilarious giver, a giver who is so excited at how good God is in their worship of him that they joyfully give back to his work so that others can know him, can be saved, and after being saved, can be edified, equipped, and built up in Christ and ministering to others themselves. So allowing people to give to God's work is opening the floodgates for God's word to be furthered in the earth, in the hearts of men, and to allow those who give to lay up treasure in heaven. Again, we knee-jerk react when we realize the funds that are being given to the false prophets, but that's not the biblical order of giving. We got to come back to ground zero and be grounded in the Lord and not just live out of a reaction to what's being done wrong. We're still responsible with every penny God gives us. We have numerous stewardship parables and teachings of Jesus and his apostles. Someone has noted that 16 of the 38 parables of Jesus involve stewardship. And when you begin to reflect upon chapters like Luke 12, Luke 16, Matthew 24 and 25, etc., you can see the great importance, the great emphasis God put on giving, and giving out of a heart that's purposed to love him, a heart of thanksgiving to the Lord. And that passage is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." Now, as usual, the Bible uses a lot of agricultural illustrative language in order for us to understand spiritual things. A parable, for example, is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So God is conveying kingdom truth to us through the natural things that we understand. And notice he's talking about standing over a garden. I mean, picture yourself holding a bag of seeds. It's springtime or whatever, and you're getting ready to plant some seeds so that you'll have some crop. And he says, those that sow or plant and spread the seed sparingly are going to reap sparingly. If you're going to go out there and just throw one seed here in your garden and one seed there, you're going to have a suboptimized harvest. Then he says, but he that soweth bountifully, in other words, generously, liberally, spreading all kinds of those seeds. I mean, you got a whole bag full of seeds, and then you got a plot of land that the soil has been tilled and made ready, and you're just putting that seed in there abundantly. And so he says, you're going to reap bountifully or abundantly. In other words, when it's time to harvest all of those seeds that you planted and became plants and bore fruit, you're going to be abundantly blessed. Since you sowed bountifully, you're going to reap also bountifully. Someone has wisely stated that massive results require massive action. What kind of results do you want in eternal glory? Everybody's treasures that they have laid up are not going to quite be the same. Again, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. If you sow a little seed, you're going to get a little crop. And he which soweth bountifully or generously is going to reap bountifully or generously and abundantly. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So people are to be allowed to give, and they're to be allowed for their hearts to be manifested in their giving, and with no one standing over them and coercing them or condemning them. them, nor stopping them from giving. And every believer is to give. That's a command of God, and that's understood. As we read the scriptures, we see that. And yet, how they give is something that they have to choose to do, because God made us free moral agents, as some would call it. We have a free will. And then it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that is, those that are giving, with a cheerful heart, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And that's a kingdom truth that we should pray to understand, that if we're giving, we may not have anything in the bank, but we're giving. And guess who saw that giving? God did. And he says here that he is going to cause all grace to abound toward them that give generously out of a cheerful heart. They're going to always have all sufficiency in all things, and they are going to abound and be blessed in every good work. God is going to continue in the law of reciprocity that he set up to supply those who are giving into his work and giving to those in need. Then he says in verse 9 here in 2 Corinthians 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. Now he's drawing from the Psalms. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Remember, the Lord said, if you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, who is going to fill you back up. There in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Don't you just love the promises of the great God that we serve? And I love that song we used to sing, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. Proverbs 19, 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. God is going to pay back and refill and replenish those who give out. Well, somebody might say, well, I've been given and I'm really low on funds. Boy, I know exactly what you're talking about. But you're giving, and so God is going to give back. So you just hold on, beloved. God is going to give back. Now, that doesn't negate that we must be good stewards of his resources, because everything we have is from him, and we must cease and circumcise our stewardship, cease wasting money on things that have no eternal value, and begin to take account of the way we spend our money, which is a direct reflection of the priorities of our hearts. Now, speaking of giving to the poor, I watched a little quick video that popped up yesterday, and it was a social experiment about a guy. And he was on a street. Now, this guy's actually very wealthy, and he's acting poor. He kind of dressed himself up. You guys have seen those kind of videos. And it was sickening. And he was in a really ritzy area. It was absolutely sickening how long he said he had to stay out there and ask people for money before somebody actually stopped and actually cared for this man who was posing as a poor man, and that he gave them back their money and then gave him $1,000 or something like that. And I got to tell you, that would be a dream to be able to do down here in Mexico. Of course, we wouldn't give away $1,000 necessarily. We'd give like 1,000 pesos, which is about $50 maybe, or 500, and begin to be a blessing. But that's not really how Jesus and the apostles preached the gospel. They just preached the wealth of the gospel, which is the greatest riches. And of course, the Bible commands us to help the poor. And that's what we like to do down here. And your prayers and love offerings have made that possible. And we'll all equally share and fully share in the eternal rewards, John 4:36, etc. What I was telling you about that guy that was standing out there acting poor, and trying to get somebody to give, and the crass, complete disregard of almost everybody. I mean, he might have asked 100 people. I don't know. The video doesn't say that. But there was a whole lot of people it showed that had no interest in helping this guy. That's mind-boggling. And this is why we can know that America is under judgment. I'm not a doom and gloomer at all, but I'm going to be honest. I believe America has gone in the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is the way Jerusalem and the people who who were supposed to be the people of God were judged as they went the way of Sodom, their sister Sodom, God calls them in the Old Testament. So he says they went the same way as Sodom. And notice in Ezekiel 16:49-51, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Boy, when God calls a nation the sister of Sodom, wow. Would he call America the sister of Sodom? Has and is America going in the way of Sodom? And somebody might say, well, we have a better president now. A president cannot change the judgment of God if the people who claim to know God will not repent and turn from their wicked ways and obey God. There's no such thing as a true believer who's not a giver. I can tell you that right now. Behold, this, you're not following Christ if you're not a giver. He gave everything for you. And if his love is in you, you are a giver. 1 John 3, 1 John 4, James 2, etc. I mean, how dwelleth the love of God, he says in John, in a person who doesn't help a brother in need? It doesn't. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, here in Ezekiel 16:49. Here it is. Pride, fullness of bread, fat, dumb, and happy. Got money, got everything paid for, doing good, so you think. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Does that sound like America? Pride, we know that as far as how the Sodomites use that word. But the Bible says, pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. So pride, this is the ways of Sodom. This is the ways of the backslidden people of God in Ezekiel's day. This is the same thing we see in America today. Pride, fullness of bread. We've got what we need. We're not interested in helping anybody else because all we care about is ourselves. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. You've never seen more games or games being played, which is waste, in the history of the world as you see now in America. So pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. America is one of her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. See, she walked right by claiming to be religious like the Levite and the priest in Luke 10, who walked right by the man who had been robbed and beaten and left for dead. And it was the Good Samaritan, which first and foremost represents Christ, who saw that sin had ravaged the human race, and he came and he died for us
to bring us back to God, from which we had been alienated via our sin.
And every one of his people are also to be represented in the Good Samaritan's act of love, who stopped immediately when he came upon the man who had been robbed and left for dead and beaten. And he immediately rendered aid with joy. And we get to do that today when we not only reach out a hand to the poor to feed them, but feed them the Word of God. Give them a Jesus track. By the way, those are available if you just go to the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com and put in Jesus track. All you have to do is click the PDF and it downloads immediately to your system, and you can save it to your desktop or whatever and print it out and have a supply of Jesus tracks to pass out daily. What a blessing to speak the Word of God and to also give them the Word of God in printed form so that they can go home and read it, so it's reinforced, and then they can pray. There's a prayer at the end of it to repent and receive Christ. So the root sins of Sodom. You can look up the word Sodom. Just put in the word Sodom on safeguardyoursoul.com. We've got an explosive podcast on this topic, on the root sins of Sodom, which are what? Pride, fullness of bread. They were abundantly blessed financially. And everybody in America is, in biblical terms, abundantly blessed financially. For the most part, except the homeless maybe, and people on the streets that are presently begging. An abundance of idleness. So instead of redeeming the time because the days are evil, they wasted their days in idleness. And neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They didn't help the poor. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. So you can read about the actual root sins of Sodom, which God reveals here specifically through the prophet Ezekiel. And one of them is that they weren't generously giving to the poor and those in need. And again, we don't just give a meal. We give the gospel. We give the word of God. We give the cure to the cancer of man's sin so that they can be rescued out of this place, can be saved. They can have nuevo vida en Cristo. That means new life in Christ. Let's back up a little bit to verse 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, that's God, both ministered bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Wow, that's a mouthful. So God multiplies the seed back to, some call it the law of reciprocity. He replenishes those who sow the seed they already have. Somebody might be saying, man, I only have a little bit. Well, the widow with the two mites only had a little bit. The widow with the two mites, remember that? But she gave all. And Jesus said she gave more than all of those people who gave a lot. And again, this is at the end of Mark chapter 12, when Jesus sat over against the treasury and he beheld how people gave. And don't we know that Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever? He is watching how we are giving out of that which he has given us. And concerning the widow woman who gave, this woman had two mites. She gave everything. God looks at the percentage we give. Well, brother, I really don't have a lot. Well, you got something. We all have something we can give. And when we do, God honors that. That reciprocity is coming your way. Now, I am not teaching or even hinting that if you give a dollar, you're going to get 10 back. That's not what we're saying here. But you can't negate what the Bible teaches repeatedly, that God's going to make you abundantly prosperous. Again, he's not going to give you $10 for every dollar you gave, but he's going to make sure you are provided for. And we'll just leave it to him to do that. But I can tell you that I'm living that very thing myself, as I believe many of you are also. So the rich religious men gave out of their abundance. They might have tossed in $100 or $1,000 or so, but God knows how much they had in the bank. So they didn't give till it hurt. They were still full of riches. This woman that gave two mites gave everything. She cast in more than they did. God honored her gifts more than he did the men that cast in what amounts to be a lot of money in that economy, as it would in this economy. So he says he ministers seed to the sower. He gives back to those. He provides for in miraculous ways, as only he can do, to those who give. He multiplies their seed that they sowed. So if God loves the person who gives cheerfully, where else better are they to do their giving than to the work of God we're commanded to do? We're commanded and instructed to give to those that feed us the word of God. Galatians 6:6, etc. They feed the sheep of Christ so that they could go on and continue to feed more sheep and to be sustained as they have answered the call of God to obey him, as some of his elders who labor in the word and doctrine. They're to be thought worthy of double honor, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. And why is that? Well, God wants them to be provided for so that they continue to do the most important and only eternal work in the earth, and that's feed the flock of God and equip the saints of the Lord so that they don't have to worry about provision. They can provide and be taken care of so that they can continue to do that work. So it's our privilege to fund them, not fund the frauds, but fund the authentic men who fear God only and fearlessly teach the whole counsel of his word with no apology.
Now, as we come in for a close in this message, we are asking the question and getting our answers from the Bible. Should God's people be allowed to give? into his kingdom work.
How about in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, speaking of, does God want us to allow people to give to his work? Well, we see that there was a collection taken up for the saints. Our giving is to be in priority to the body of Christ. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, think about it. Paul isn't saying, don't let there be any collections for the saints. No, he's saying that there are collections for the saints. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, we are to set aside, the Bible says right here. We are to take off the top of what we are being allowed to make and earn and have that the Lord has blessed us with and give it to the saints and to the work of Christ. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So he's setting a precedence here of giving and collecting, storing up so that we can have to give. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So Paul is instructing the believers, the disciples of Christ at Corinth, to set aside, lay by him in store, store up things that we can give. I set that precedence, as many of you do, in my mind about giving, setting apart to give. That should be right off the top as we seek first, not second, but first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, the Lord promised, Matthew 6:33. Also, we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Notice the first fruits, putting God first in our giving, in our stewardship, in our expenditure of the money that he puts in our hands. Then he says, when you do that, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Again, God promises to bless those who put him first in their giving. So there was a collection to be taken up for the saints. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. And so the disciples of Christ were instructed by Paul to lay up those things in store so that they can give. Again, we are not to hinder Christian people, God's people, from giving. We're to allow them to give. Now, that's different than asking for money letting the need be known so that they have the opportunity, if they choose to do so, to give is definitely a biblical thing. That might be a simple truth, but it's absolutely a biblical truth. So God loves it when we cheerfully give. And then the Lord consequently gives blessings back to those who give out of a cheerful heart. And so ministry shouldn't beg for money. We must never disallow the giving of Christ's saints. If we do, we're going to hinder their blessing, the blessing of God on their lives, as they obey God in giving and lay up treasure in heaven. How would you like to get to heaven and realize that you have a brother that you stopped from giving? You didn't allow him to give. Jesus allowed people to give. That's why he had a treasure, who had a bag. That's like a bank account, out of which when people put into that account, they ministered to the poor and did the work of the ministry out of what was given to them by the people of God.
And again, what about the woman with the two mites who gave? Everyone was giving. Jesus sat there in the temple, right by the treasury where people give, and Jesus did not say, do not give. Jesus did not go over there and tear down the treasury receptor, the receiver of the funds and the love offerings people were given. Jesus commanded no one to stop giving, which is a clear statement that God opens the floodgates for his people to be able to give. And he takes that and invests that in their eternal blessing. And again, everybody's treasures are not going to be the same. Jesus said that his Father and him went to build and make many mansions for his saints. So Jesus clearly incentivizes his people to give. And according to their giving, their heart, and their percentage, he is going to reward them eternally. It's kind of like Social Security. Most of us can relate to that, whether or not we're into that place in our lives or not, but we gave all of our lives, our work lives, into the treasury of Social Security. And according to how we gave there, we're going to reap in our latter days on this earth.
It seems, as I mentioned earlier, that some have become disillusioned when they realize, as I did years ago, that I'd been given to wolves. And then we turn around and we don't give at all to the Word of God, as God has specifically instructed us to do. Notice here, as we come to a close, saints, that Paul speaks against coveting in Acts 20, and yet then he speaks of the blessedness of giving in the same passage, and that those who give are the ones who are blessed. And let me just say that right now. Anybody who gives to a ministry, you're the one that's blessed. It is more blessed, he says right here. Jesus said it. This is in red letters in the book of Acts. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about that. You're the blessed. I don't know about you. I'm never more blessed than when I'm just putting it out there. And by the way, every one of you who has prayed and given either one or both to this outreach, you're the ones that make this possible, God and you. And it just couldn't be more overwhelming here in Mexico, that when you help people, the gratitude, the tears, the countenance completely changes when you start ministering Christ. They stop dead in their tracks. And these people don't ask for anything. I don't even know how to put that into words. But your giving and your prayers are going so far. Saints, when we pray for others, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is poured out upon them. Philippians 1:19, and that's what's happening here. And that's what's happening with all the people we as a body have been praying for continually. So Paul says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. Let me read that. Acts 20 verse 33. I have coveted. Now he had just finished speaking about the wolves who he said are going to enter in. Grievous wolves. They're going to enter in and they're not going to spare the flock and they're going to teach falsely.
And that would include making merchandise of them, 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3.
Then he commends them to God and to the Word of God, the Word of His grace, which is able to build them up, give them an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. There it is, an inheritance, an eternal inheritance.
Christ Himself is our inheritance, is our treasure.
He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, that would be help the poor, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And again, while we are not to covet any man's earthly things, were also to be those who are generous givers, to help the poor, and to know that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Let us pause and pray together, saints.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us in rightly dividing the word of your truth. And Lord, we ask you to give us cheerful hearts as only you can do. Impart your love, multiply your love. Let it be spread abroad even more, Lord. Multiply it by the Holy Ghost in each of our hearts, Lord, that we will follow you in being givers. You gave it all for us. And Father, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him would have everlasting life, would not perish. And Lord, we ask you to multiply that love that is you, because you are love, in us, and let it be spread abroad to the body of Christ and the poor and those in need as we look for your soon return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every
every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.